Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Joining us once again is another familiar voice in the realm of gaming and anime, be it in fighting as Kasumi in Dead or Alive, the magical girl realm of Madoka Magica as Kyoko, and taking on probably one of the most iconic LGBT roles in anime as Sailor Neptune in Sailor Moon. I'm so happy to welcome back Miss Lauren Landa. How are you doing today?
Good. How about you?
I am good. We are good today.
Yay! I'm holding a cute little teddy bear. You guys can't see it. Can't
yes, she is,
but
holding Ginkgo.
But yes, but so Monica Rial is the voice of this teddy
bear? Yes, that's Ginkgo from Yurikuma Arashi, which was directed by the director of Sailor Moon R, S, and Super S.
Oh, very cool. Awesome. Well, Monica, I love you, and I'm hugging the teddy bear pretending it was you.
We will definitely get to the role of Sailor Neptune a little bit, but I want to first talk, because the last time we chatted, Attack on Titan was like the really huge show that everyone was talking about, and you made the comment that besides the part where the boys run away from Mikasa, there's absolutely nothing funny about the show whatsoever.
There's not a lot of comedic moments because it's a very dark show.
It is. Yeah. So my question was, was doing a show like Attack on Titan Junior High a big breath of fresh air?
Oh, Junior High was so much fun. But I think, not just for me, but I think the entire cast had a blast doing it, because it was very... It's ridiculous to do a show like that in that form when we're so used to the original being so dark, and then all of a sudden these guys are all walking around in chibi form and all that. It's so funny. I had a blast doing it, although Annie didn't change that much, but it was
she didn't change that much, but she wasn't as evil.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Alright, so I just did mention, being part of the Sailor Moon franchise must be like a dream come true for you, because like taking on a role of Michiru, aka Sailor Neptune.
Good pronunciation, by the way.
Thank you. I practice a lot. So, was there much of a challenge to scoring this role, considering that series creator Naoka Takeuchi had a huge say in the dubbing cast?
She did, and that was a huge, huge compliment, because I feel like I was handpicked, which we all were. We were handpicked by the creator, which is pretty amazing. And it was pretty... you were asking how difficult it was?
Yeah.
I guess in some aspects it was difficult, but it wasn't at the same time, because I was already really familiar, very familiar with the character. And on top of that, Neptune was actually my favorite character out of all of them. Mm-hmm. So I was prepared for it, but at the same time, there was a bit of pressure that came with it, because she is a big... she's a big character, but at the same time, she's also an iconic character for the LGBTQ community.
Right.
So, you know, not that that has anything to do with her voice, but I generally wanted to do justice to the character. I, as a fan of Sailor Moon, I also wanted to make sure that I did it justice as a performer. I didn't want to just go in and treat it like, you know, like a... I didn't want to, excuse my language, have to do a half-ass job.
Correct. So. Well, don't worry, you can curse on the show.
Oh, fuck yes. Sweet.
Now, you did just bring this up because with the duo of Uranus and Neptune, they were practically the first, like, openly gay couple in a kid's show.
Yeah, definitely. I know that, you know, I still get asked this question to this day. What are my feelings on the original dubs, you know, choice? And the thing is, I tell people a lot that whoever decided to do that was a higher-up. The actors had absolutely no say in that. And I understand a lot of fans don't understand what goes on behind the scenes. So they don't understand that the actors, a good majority of the time, have no say in what happens with their characters. And I mean specifically in anime. I don't mean original animation. I mean in anime.
Yeah.
So if a director says, we're going to do it this way, we do it that way. Unless, of course, rarely will we ever say, no, we can't do that, because the director is the one that's in charge, or the clients. Mm. And so none of the actors in the original dub had a saying in that. And so I've been on a panel with some of the original the original 90s dub cast members.
Right.
And there have been a few people that have question them on why they made it that way, and it's actually a little upsetting because it comes off as very
negative,
and they blame. It sounds like they're blaming the cast, and
it's not their fault.
It's not their fault, and nor was it their choice. They were reading their lines. They were performing, and that has nothing to do with it. So either way, I get asked a lot, "How are your feelings on it?" And I'm very happy with the fact that we're going along with the original relationship, and the fact that it's. It's very open and very clear, and we're not changing any genders, we're not changing any sexual orientations. I love that, and I love that we're in a much more progressive position now. I mean, we're still moving, we're still trying to improve things.
All right.
But I genuinely quite enjoy the fact that I am able to be a part of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, talking to dubs, I mean, I remember watching it when I was a kid in high school, loving it to death. But, you know, when you watch it and you see that they're calling themselves cousins, you know it's more than just cousins.
Well, I mean, I know that for me, I originally saw the sub legally before I watched the 90s dub. And I knew of their relationship, so it was very off-putting to me, just like it was for a lot of other Sailor Moon fans out there. You know, and not that I agree with this, but I honestly think that where the person who made that shot, I don't think they were coming from a negative place.
Right.
I don't think they were coming from a hateful place, nothing like that. I genuinely think that they thought they were making the best decision, which I don't agree with, but I don't, you know, it wasn't.
We weren't as progressive as we are now.
Right, exactly. It was a different time. Again, not saying I agree with it, because I don't. It was a different time, and, you know, and still to this day, we still are fighting against those issues. But it's definitely, as you said, we've progressed more since then.
Absolutely. So. And it's a better industry for that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, speaking of other, like, magical girl series, even though Sailor Moon is technically Bishoujo Senshi, one of my other favorite roles of yours has to be of Kyoko from Madoka Magica.
Yay!
And it really showed you how to push that genre into a much darker realm. And I gotta ask, how would you compare that role, the way you tackled this magical girl anime, to what you did with, say, with, like, Neptune, or even with your roles in Magical Girl Lyrical Nanoha?
Well, as far as Sailor Moon goes, Sailor Moon is a lot more, there are some dark parts in Sailor Moon, but Sailor Moon is a lot more on the, I don't want to say it's more of a kid's show than Madoka Magica, but it kind of is in
right.
a way. There's some more kid-friendly material in there as opposed to
Madoka Magica.
There are, again, not entirely, there are some episodes where it's a little, you know, a little much for kids, but Madoka is very dark from the very, very beginning. So, in that aspect, I think that's where the difference is between Magical Girl Lyrical Nanoha and Madoka Magica. God, that's a mouthful. Nanoha was, again, a bit more, I thought it was a bit bit more upbeat in some aspects as opposed to Madoka Magica. But there were, again, there were some dark moments in Nanoha too. So
right.
And that's what I like. I like how it's not all sunshine and rainbows. It shows conflict, which is where the interesting things...
Right, they sprinkle a little realism into it, so
right.
kids
yeah.
can relate to it just a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was your take on the outcome at the end of the Rebellion movie? Because to spoil it for the audience, it rewrote all the events to make sure, like, all the girls led normal, happier lives. So what was your take while you were recording that part?
So, I'm not going to lie to you. We were invited to go watch the sub premiere before we dubbed it. And I had no idea what the hell was going on through that entire movie. I was so confused. And even at the end, we have this guy over here that's just nodding like, yep,
They weren't just sick, John. I had the flu when I saw that movie. And it was having a fever dream while watching
it. Oh my gosh, it's awful. I mean, it's a good movie, but it was so confusing. And I was still so confused at the end. I thought to myself, so wait, spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1. Homer is a demon? She's evil now? What does that mean? Like, what exactly? I still don't understand it. Although I will say that every time I watch Rebellion now, I remember that it's not all real.
Yeah.
You know, that it's a fake world, which is why there are some witch things in there and some maze things and labyrinth things in there, you know. So it's very strange, but it's a beautiful movie. I was still left very confused at the end of it.
I think a lot of us were, but it was still a good movie. I really enjoyed it.
It was beautiful.
So, one series that I'm really happy that is getting a lot more love these days is the Seven Deadly Sins, where
yes!
you got to play Merlin.
Yes!
So, as this is a character that can be a bit two-faced at times, with her being calm and polite one moment, and the next, she can be very manipulative. I'm wondering if there was a challenge of sorts to try to mesh in so many conflicted personalities into this one character.
No, there wasn't really any difficulty because Merlin's just so much fun to play. I will say, though, that this show has become one of my favorite projects for many different reasons, but one of them being just I have gotten to love the entire cast, and the entire cast and I have, you know, the majority of the cast and I have all become very close friends, and, you know, for the OVAs that we did,
yeah.
which a lot of people, I need to clarify, a lot of people were confused. Netflix decided to label it a season 2. It is not season 2. It was 4 OVA episodes. I was confused at first, too. I was like, season 2? We didn't record season 2. Season 2 isn't even out yet.
Nope. January, though.
Oh, yes, I know. I saw the trailer. It looks awesome. But I, you know, Ben Diskin, who's the voice of Bond, who is, I claim him to be my anime boyfriend. Fight me on it, anybody. I love, Ben is amazing as Bond, Bryce is amazing as Meliodas, Eric Kimmerer is amazing as Gother, everybody in that show is just absolutely amazing, and I think, if I remember correctly, over the OVAs, myself and Ben had quite a few funny outtakes and bombs that we had left for each other. It was really, really funny, but I just love stuff like that, but it's such a good show.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was going to be that popular.
It was. It is an absolutely great series. This is going to be a little bit of a tough one to ask you, because this year, anime fans heard you in the dub for a new series that's called The Testament of Sister New Devil.
Oh, that show. I know that show.
It's interesting. So, when you're playing a role like Mio, I can imagine you need to get into a certain mindset when her character feels the effects of the pact that she has with the main character.
My mindset's always there. I didn't really have to go very far.
Was it a fun role to do? Because imagine there's just so much, like, naughtiness, as it were.
I had so much fun with this show. I have to stop using that word because I'm using it in a figurative way, it's awful. Anyway, I had so much fun with this show. Mio she was so much fun to play. I genuinely liked the show. I was able to watch it before we recorded it because it was available on Crunchyroll.
Right.
And I genuinely, truly enjoy the show. I think, regardless of what suggestive content is in there, I genuinely think it's very cool. I think the action in it is great. I enjoy the characters. I think Maria is a laugh. I love her. I think Basara is a badass main character. Because in most ecchi shows or most harem shows,
right.
You know, a lot of the main characters are not always strong hero types. A lot of them are perverted characters, or a lot of them are just big dorks, you know, like Love Hina, or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, like High School DxD.
Right. Well, High School DxD, maybe, but Issei was still kind of a fighter, almost. Mm-hmm. But Basara is still different from Issei, in my opinion.
Right.
But I genuinely, truly enjoy the show, and what we wanted to bring to it was, you know, just because it's ecchi, just because there's a lot of boobs in it, doesn't mean that it can't be handled with class or taste. And that's what we wanted, is we wanted to bring taste to it, we wanted to bring good performances to it. Because again, simply because there's suggestive content and fan service doesn't mean it doesn't need good performances.
Right.
So, but I had an absolute blast with it. And
I've heard a lot of the performances on there. It sounds like you are having a ball with the role.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad. Yeah, and I was able to watch the first two episodes on the Funimation channel, and I was very happy with how it sounded. And there were some people in there that, you know, it was some of their first big roles, and so it was new for them, but eventually they grew into their characters, and I was very proud of the entire cast. So I was very happy with it.
Awesome. Lauren, thank you so much for joining me here on 101. And I know you have to part with Ginkgo here, but you can hug her for another minute.
Yay!
So listeners, thank you so much for joining us here on 101, and peace out.
Yay! Peace out.